The title for my sermonette today is Ego, or Edge God Out. The Latin word ego in English is the word I. You know those license plates holders that say, if you've seen them, I've seen them, they say me, myself, and I, or I'm the most important, or something like that along those lines. Well, that's ego. You know, ego is a sense of, or rather a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. It's how we imagine ourselves in light of others. What mentality or imagery we consider ourselves with. And it's interesting to think about it, because it's important to realize who we are. To realize that we have within each of us the ability to accomplish things, to grow our gifts, to overcome our weaknesses. You know, if we are not doing these things, then we're not worthy. But it's a fine edge to walk. Because the moment we start to think about how good we are, how important, how self-righteous, how right, it's in that moment that we start down a wrong path. We start down a steep and treacherous path. You know, a synonym for ego is pride. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with being proud about a job that you've accomplished. You know, you can do something at work or at home or whatever, and you look at that and you're like, man, that's really cool. I was able to accomplish that. Maybe when I started this project, I didn't know how to do it, but now I do. And that's good. That's important. We should feel like that. But it's when our minds make things into bigger things than they really are that it becomes a problem. Let's look at Paul's encouragement to Timothy, who was a young minister, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, it will begin in verse 6. Paul says to him, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Verse 10, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." So Paul is telling Timothy to not have a timid spirit, but have a powerful spirit, one of fever and zeal, going ahead and doing what is right. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36. Hebrews 10:35, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You know, it's God's will that we keep confident, that we keep strong, that we keep pushing forward. So we are to have a proper sense of ego, but not one of edging God out, but rather of drawing closer to God. Let's notice verse 37 and 30-39 here in Hebrews 10. It says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." taking confidence in doing what is right. That is what God expects us to continue in doing. Let's look at Romans 6, beginning in verse 6. Romans 6, and beginning of verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. But he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are to continue to work to not be enslaved by sin. But we can only do this if we continue to train, to become more Christ-like, willing to lay our lives down for the truth. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning of verse 12 says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, he who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." We are to be compelled by the knowledge that we have and the continued furthering of our understanding. The transition to this new person, new man, it's a continual process. If we are not continually moving forward, then we lapse backwards. Or drawing backwards, as it says, returning to something we once knew to draw away from. Something we actively, at one point in our lives, made efforts to avoid and to replace. Instead, we have to actively replace with righteousness. Otherwise, we will draw back. Now, one of the things that I value more and more as I get older is peace. Some people are smiling. I realize I'm not that old. You know, but something that I've found is that as I put more forth to an effort to truly draw close to God and seek him in all areas of my life, the more peace I find. Being at one leads to peace because it pushes out the need for ego. Being able to be at peace within yourself is a very hard task to accomplish. You know, we constantly think about things from the moment we wake up till the time we go to bed. There's constant noise in our brains, and not necessarily from the outside. We have to learn how to find peace, to find quietness, to take time to meditate. You know, Christ said in John 14, verse 27, that he would give us his peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Now, when we lean on God, we start to learn how to truly do this. I often wonder if this is how the apostles of old were able to endure all the hardships and the trials and the things that they went through, and yet they continued on. They pushed forward. Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God surpassing any understanding. How's that for a statement? How well do we internalize that scripture? Let's look at Isaiah 26, and we'll begin in verse 1. We'll read to verse 4. Isaiah 26 and verse 1. "In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." So we see here it takes a mind that is steady, a mind that is strong, that is willing to be obedient. And then it says, then God can hand over and will hand over the peace that we seek. But when we lack peace in our lives, a lot of the time when we look, we find ego there. Let's look at Colossians 3 and verse 14 to 17. Colossians 3 and verse 14. "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in teaching and admonition, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." When we start to take these things to heart, things start to change. But it starts in our hearts and in our minds. Let's look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on," I'm sorry, 8 and 9. "But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." You see, those actions are actions that are full of ego, and they do not lead to happiness. But let's read verse 10 to 13. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Paul says here to clothe ourselves with these actions. Unless you're in a nudist colony, you don't walk outside without clothes, right? We put these actions on. We wear them as we would wear clothes. We make sure that they fit well. But we also can get caught up and big-headed, thinking we're all this and all that because maybe we have this knowledge, maybe we treat other people differently. But the reason to have these actions is to use them and to give them to others. As we read here, God doesn't differentiate, so why should we? Why should we treat people differently? And when we get concerned about ourselves, we derail ourselves. Let's look at Romans 2, beginning of verse 1. Actually, for sake of time, we'll skip that scripture and we'll just jump to James 3 and verse 13. James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There is no arguing that when we look around at the people in this world that there is no true peace. And there can't be, because this true peace of God requires the use of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 14 to 17 gives us the actions of love. And it shows very fully that love and ego cannot coexist, because the actions of love are outgoing. They are flowing out from you towards another person. Even if we don't receive those actions back, that's what love is. Still choosing to put those emotions out. And it's not easy to consistently show this love. But it takes consistent thought. And it takes consistent decision. Decision that we are going to live this life no matter what, no matter anybody else. So I'd like to close with 1 Peter 2, verse 11. First Peter 2 and verse 11, a very sobering warning. He says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's an all-out war. It's a battlefield. It's a battle for our minds. It's a battle for our hearts. And it's a choice. So what is going to be our choice? It can't be both. You can't have it both ways. Either we are looking out for number one, or we are looking out for others.